is John P. from Maryland.
Hi, I'm John. I'm an addict. It's always very, very cool to get asked to speak at any meeting. Like you said, this is the first time I've spoke at a retreat or any sort of workshop at a convention. And I know in my heart that it's no different than sharing at any other meeting. But for some reason, I'm definitely more nervous than I usually am. But that's what we do here is we face fears and we get through things together. And it's never done anything but help me grow in the past, so I just have to go on my past experience. I really don't have to share anything about, you know, how I got here, except that, you know, I used while it was fun. It stopped being fun. I continued to use. I wanted to stop. I continued to use. I prayed. I got to the point where I'd rather die than use again, and that's what it took for me to even contemplate the idea of never using again a day at a time. And I didn't think it was possible. But luckily, a day at a time, it has proved to be possible since December 26, 1999. You know, I'm going to go a little bit through the previous steps just quickly, because they're in order for a reason, and without the previous steps, it's not possible for me to move forward. So quickly on the first step, it was so apparent. The second part of the first step was so apparent when I got here. My life was a mess. Everybody had disowned me. Everything around my life was in turmoil, but I couldn't get that first part. I just wanted to be able to smoke pot and drink beer. But no matter where I started, it always ended up on the strip. So it took me getting that desperate and my family disowning me, because I've come from a very close family. I cannot blame any of my history on my family. I came from a very loving home. But for some reason, I just could not give up on it until I'd gone that low that I stole Christmas from my family. That's my bottom. And that's my first step. That's when I became willing to contemplate that the use of zero drugs was all I could tolerate. That was the most amount I could put in me was none. I did not go to rehab. Not that that makes me any different than anybody else. That's my story. The rooms of NA were my rehab. I have found everything that I've needed to stay clean a day at a time here in the rooms. The other big thing that kept me out of here was the second step. I went to church as a kid and had issues with the God of that understanding. That was not anything I could get with in there. Well, not anything. There were just big issues with church. All I could tell you about God is what I knew He wasn't from that experience with church. So I came in, you guys told me to start praying, and I did. And I got a little bit of clean time, and I found some serenity. And then shortly thereafter, I'm driving down the road, coming from a wonderful meeting, and somebody in front of me is driving slow, and I live in the country, and they're driving real slow, and all I can see is like blue hair and knuckles. You know, it's just some little old lady in front of me driving slow, and I'm cussing her and banging on the steering wheel. And I was like, wait a minute, what happened? And I realized that I hadn't prayed in days. It hasn't been a day that's gone by since then. And since then, I've been able to take a look at my past and find that I had a higher power the whole time. I didn't know it was okay to have that higher power. You guys gave me the gift of a God of my own understanding. The third step I really struggled with, because I was losing touch with that one word, desire. I thought that I had to just fall into God's will, and I was smoking and struggling with that and a bunch of other behavior, you know, and I said, I can't do the third step because that's not God's will, but it's just a desire. And then the fourth step really starts the journey that brings us to 6 and 7. You know, I really wasn't worried about doing it. I hear a lot of people with a lot of apprehension about doing the fourth step. And it certainly brought up some feelings, and there were definitely some phone calls to my sponsor, you know, like, damn, you know, I started writing about this shit, and all of a sudden I'm feeling like just garbage, just, you know, I just felt horrible. And I had to call my sponsor, and he, you know, say, that's all right, you know, just pray and maybe take a break, but just keep going. You'll get through it. We'll get through it. But it wasn't really that bad. It just, you know, taking a look at a lot of things that I had buried that I didn't want to look at just really brought up some funky feelings. And guess what? Right where I was supposed to be, that's what I needed to be doing, was dragging up all of that crap so that I could no longer tuck it away and say it doesn't exist. But it was still eating at me, even though I didn't want to look at it, you know? So there was that freeing feeling that I got when I first went through that fourth step with my sponsor. But the thing I didn't expect, that I didn't, no one had shared with me at that time, when I was doing my fifth step with my sponsor and reading through all of the fourth step stuff, he kept like pointing out all these patterns. And, you know, I didn't realize that that's what I really needed to know, was those patterns of behavior that kept me running, you know, that kept me so scared that, you know, like when I got here, they wanted to put me on drugs. I come in to a psychiatrist and I say, I'm a drug addict. I want to kill myself, yada, yada, yada. And I talk to them about who I am. And they say, oh, well, you've got social anxiety disorder and here's some drugs. And I'm like, okay, you know. But it's just that internal fear that I'm not enough, that scarcity and lack that my current sponsor talks about all the time. You know, I really related to those things. And when I look at my story and I really got honest about the things that I kept doing over and over and over again, letting people walk on me until I exploded, you know, and the guy that got the explosion had nothing to do with why I was so angry in the first place most of the time. You know, and that's how my character defects will get me, because they build on me, you know. That those feelings that I don't want to face, they don't go anywhere. They just keep building. And, you know, that's a lot of my story, is acting out on some serious anger and directing it at people that had nothing to do with it, you know. The other part of what I really learned about me at that time that was kind of an awakening for me was that a lot of why I used and why I just had this dis-ease inside myself is that I thought I had to be this person. And that person was nothing to do with who I really am. And I learned a lot about who I am in my fourth step. You know, I'm a little guy, and I had the little guy complex. You know, I would go out and get all trashed and pick the biggest guy in the bar and go hit him. You know, get my ass kicked and wonder why I hurt the next day, you know. But I had this little man complex. I had to be as much as you, and it was not based on my character or, you know, the love that I have in my life. It was based on all this external crap that is nothing today. Well, no, it's not over with. I mean, it's still there, but I can see it, you know. And that was the other thing about walking out of that step work with my sponsor, is that it was all right there in front of me. You know, there was no more denying those patterns of behavior anymore. It was right up front, right there. Every time I'm doing it, I'm seeing it, and I'm doing it anyway, and making the same mistakes, but wide open eyes, and just, you know, it was a very painful experience. And unfortunately, some things happened in my life right at that time where that sponsor decided that he didn't want to go to meetings anymore and told me that I needed to pick another sponsor. That was very hurtful. I stayed close to him anyway because, you know, we don't give up on folks around here, and I was really hoping at the time that he would come back. And then, you know, got in a really dysfunctional relationship. And, you know, honestly, I really don't want to go into the details of what happened at this time in my life, because every time I tell it now, you know, I put myself up on this cross. I don't know how to tell it without being a victim. And I know today the part that I played in it. I just have a hard time sitting in front of a group of people telling that part of my story. But I hurt. I hurt more than I've ever hurt in my life, and I had nothing to mask it. And it involved a woman and my ex-sponsor and betrayal and, you know, life-threatening disease, and it was just a really painful part of my life, and I was done with you people. That was the long and short of it, is I was done because I could no longer trust anybody in these rooms. If that could happen with the two people I trusted and loved most, how can I continue? And all I can say is thank God for my bottom, because I'm sitting there by myself, isolated, doing what we do when we don't have the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and the fellowship and the love that's in these rooms, that I now know that is in these rooms, is that, you know, I got a lot closer with my higher power. And then sitting there just praying and wondering how I'm going to continue without you people, you know, all I kept thinking about is, this is not as painful as my bottom. I'm not willing to hurt myself. And at my bottom, I wanted to hurt myself more than I wanted to get clean. I didn't have the balls for it, but I wanted to hurt myself, you know. But, and I kept thinking, if I could make that be something that I said was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, then why can't this turn around too? So I slowly started reaching out to people like the guy that's currently my sponsor, the guy that was my sponsor for a little while between those two, and the people that I knew that I could trust that had never hurt me, regardless of what I felt when I was sitting in that big blue chair that I sat in for like 2 months and didn't want to go to meetings, but thank God I had service and wouldn't give up on those positions. That service saved my life more than once in the short time I've been here. But somebody told me after I told him I'd done my fifth step that, good, he said, because now every one of your character defects is going to kick your ass before you're ready to get rid of it. And that's what it took. And it took me a long time. I don't suggest this, but it was about 4 years that it took me to start working the sixth step with another sponsor. But that time was not wasted. I learned so much about me. I got so much closer to my higher power. And I really started making some changes in my life, more than the changes that I saw when I put down the drugs. There were some immediate just changes. I wasn't stealing. I wasn't, doing some of the other funky behavior, but I'm still, calling in sick all the time and doing some other behavior that even in recovery could kick my butt and bring me to yet another bottom clean, And the pain got great enough, and I started working, and I started writing, and I wrote a short book. I figure I got all of the defects. I may as well write about them all and how they affect my life. And some of them were very obvious, and some of them were more subtle, but I have them all. Because defects of character for me are character traits and sometimes assets that, my total obsession with them can make them a defect of character. This, the fact that I will totally focus on one thing and, that makes it a defect in the long run. So when I wrote about all those things and sat down and really looked at, the spiritual principles that were in play and the one that I could use to fix it, that's the big deal. I hear people talk about, that a lot of people pass over 6 and 7 with a minimum of concern. And I'm like, I would never do a fourth step if I did not know that there was a 6 and 7 that could get me into the solution. Why do I want to know all that crazy, nasty crap about me if I'm not going to fix it, It's like going into the auto repair shop and saying, your transmission's broken, and you drive out and just keep driving on it. You wonder why you break down later, I really don't... I walked out of working my sixth step with my sponsor, and I did just feel such a wonderful relief, not only to have figured out that there was a solution to all of these patterns in my behavior that I could start putting into play rather than just walking into the same situation over and over again, knowing that it was going to hurt and doing it anyway. Now I have some solutions. It definitely takes some serious vigilance, and it takes a power greater than myself to get me to do that. Because when I'm in my own will, and what I've really figured out in 6 and 7 is that, when I first got clean, it's like, great, now I can start trying to be the person I've always wanted to be. And then in 6 and 7, I realized, no, that person I wanted to be is just as screwed up and is liable to hurt me and everybody else around them as the guy that was using. And what I need to be is the person that my higher power would have me be. That man of integrity, that person that you can trust. One of the greatest gifts that I found in recovery is that when I'm hurting and I want to go back to that big blue chair that I still have, all I've got to do is reach out and help somebody else, and I don't feel so bad anymore because I have some self-worth. God, what a gift for a self-centered guy who, I would hold a door for somebody, but, I didn't really want to go out of the way and come help you move or take you to a meeting when, you're all the way around town and I've got a shorter way I can go. But just getting out of the way and letting my higher power work in my life so that I can be of service to him, that is really where the seventh step is coming to play in my life. And to be honest with you, I didn't think I was it was appropriate for me to share on this step because I'm still writing my seventh step. And honestly, when they asked me to do it and I told the guy on the phone, it's like, I've never shared at a meeting. And I thought he's going to let me off the hook, and he didn't. And then I said, well, I'm working the seven steps, so I don't really think that's a meeting that I should lead. And he wrote me back a little while later. He's like, no, I talked to a bunch of the people working at the retreat, and we think this is exactly where you need to be, and we'd be happy to have you come share on 6 and 7. It's like, shit, So, this is just how my brain works, and I... Really, learning to work these two steps is learning how to get out of that self-centered first response, It's real easy when it's something that's been coming along day after day and I know how to react to it and I really don't even have to think. I can, work step 1, 2, 3 real quick and get into, you know, God's will, and things go well. But I get into something new, which this really isn't new. It's just a microphone in front of me that's the only difference between sharing here and at another meeting. But I get all up in my head, and I just want to just run. You know, I got my running shoes on, and I could bolt, you know. And it's learning how to slow down and not react out of the fear that's run my life for the 42 years, almost 42 years that I've been here. I'm only 41. I don't know why that came out. But anyway, I don't want to lie. You know, that I can slow down long enough to try to seek God's will, and if I can't find it, I can pick up the phone, and He'll always find a way to get a message to me through somebody that's in my network and the people that love and care about me, you know. And, you know, that's really what's been working in my life, you know. I came from a place of coming to my first meeting only looking to buy a little bit of time before I could hurt myself because it was Christmas Day that I last used. And, you know, really, somebody wants to hurt themselves, they're going to do it. There are no excuses, so I have to get real with that. I wasn't going to do anything, but that's how I felt. And today, you know, I not only enjoy my life, I have a life that's so worth living. You know, there's some great stuff going on in my life. I'm in a wonderful relationship. It's not like a hostage situation or somebody that's beating the hell out of me and I'm letting it happen and wondering why I'm hurting, because that was a big part of my story and why that situation that I didn't want to discuss happened. That's my part in it, as I allowed somebody to treat me a way that no one should ever treat me. You know, only, you know, me or a pretty girl has ever been able to do that to me. You know, why I allow it to happen, I don't know. But, you know, that's something that's coming out in these steps, and it's getting a whole lot better. But, you know, my career is going well. I have so much fun. We have a great group of people down in Southern Maryland that hang out and go camping and fishing and concerts, and we come up to retreats. And, you know, I have this love in my life that is not only, you know, outward towards the people in my life, but I love me now. And that's the big deal about the steps, is that I learn how to love and accept myself for who I am. And I don't have to stop trying to be something that I'm not. Because it always blows up in my face. It's always a jackpot. And, you know, it's a process. This is all a process. I don't do it any of it perfectly. The only thing that I haven't had to do since I got here is to pick up. And that wasn't, you know, that's through you and God's grace. So we got through it together. Thank you very much for letting me share. I really appreciate being asked by the host committee. I'll take another 24. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, John. Pretty good for your debut. Next speaker, I'd like to introduce another gentleman that I've never met, but I see him hovering around everywhere up here. Chuck C. from the home area here in Lower Mount Holland.
Saying you want a hug? Hi, everybody. My name is Chuck, and I'm an addict.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's always ironic to see somebody like in the same place that I am. And John, that's right where I'm at, too. In between my seventh step, you know, just started my seventh step also. I guess one of those defects is not being able to pick up the pen either or make time to. So that's where I'm standing right now. You know, I just want to start with service real quick. Service allows me to be human. It allows me to show up and be human. And for me, that's not like a real comfortable place all the time, because I act out. People that know me know I act out, and it's not always a pretty sight, you know, but the spiritual principle of forgiveness is real important with people allowing me to be me, you know, allowing me my process in this program to find out who I am, like John was talking about. I struggle with that a lot, like just, you know, just letting go and being okay with me. Something my sponsors always stressed to me, like, it's you know, because it was always, you know, it was never gray area. It was always black or white, and the gray area is much more. It's, you know, there's room for improvement, and there's room to change and grow, and I like it there. It's just that uncomfortability, you know. Just wanted to start with that real quick, I guess. You know, in the process of the steps, like, you know, I also reached a level of desperation where it was just, you know, I had toyed around with meetings before. I had seen people in the rooms before that were there when I came back, and, you know, thank God for that in itself. But again, I reached that level of desperation where there was just no turning back. I wanted to die inside on a daily basis. You know, just too cowardly to do anything about it. You know, so I got busy this time with action because I knew that my life always got better when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. What if I just did some work this time, you know, instead of just faking it, you know, or just hanging out or hiding in the rooms. So I began to do that. You know, my sponsor, who I had met before in this program, found me again, you know, so that was kind of neat. It was also just like things just started coming together. Worked the first step, you know, pretty relatively, you know, easily because, you know, again, some of us know that level of desperation. Most of us that are here, in fact, it's unbearable. Change, you know, becomes like who you are. I know that change was who I was, you know, getting a daily planner, you know, using it and, you know, being a part of life again, you know, not checking out. I used to watch Dr. Phil a lot and, like, preach it, you know, but not live it, you know what I mean? That's no good, you know, and it ain't this program either. So he's got some bits of it in there, but, you know, sticking to this program is what has worked for me so far. Second step, the second step has a lot to do with step 6 and 7, you know, with that insanity that I bring about in my life, you know, recognizing, you know, beginning to see something, kind of recognizing the source of it within myself, and how just, you know, absolutely, like, again, you know, powerless, you know, over it. When I worked that second step, I got a lot of hope. I don't want to go through all this. I just want to pick out just a few little morsels. Step 3 for me is very big on a daily basis. It's about making decisions today and sticking to them and, like, not jumping around. Being firm today, having some integrity, being able to work spiritual principles in every situation. That's going to be down the line a ways. But I can see it happening, you know. I can see it happening because I'm part of the process. I have confidence and trust in the process. I'm on the road for a reason. I'm not here to get off. I didn't come all this way for nothing. I got a little over 3 years clean now. I never, ever would have thought that would have happened because I just couldn't stop. Nor did I want to because I was, just again, I had my running shoes on. I was fully ready to not face life on a daily basis like I didn't want to, unless it was fun. If you didn't have any fun times lined up, you know, hey, just call me when you do, you know. And eventually no one called, which is a good indicator that something needed to happen. The commitment that's in step 3 allows me again to, you know, where I started in that service. Like the gym. Again, what Jim was saying last night about being in service and doing 90 and 90, you know. That's what I did. I think I did, like pretty much like 69 meetings in 90 days or something like that, 70 meetings, something like that. It wasn't 90 and 90 because I had a job, you know. I had to get on some stuff. I was back behind on child support. Had to get moving, you know, and that's what I did. My fourth step is, you know, I had always dreamt of working it, and that's no lie. Like, I would get high and think about my fourth step, and that's so weird to say that, but it actually was the truth. Like, I always, even when the time I spent away, I wanted to work that fourth step because I wanted deep down so bad to know who I was. I had no idea who I was. I was always playing the role of someone else or a mask or, like, sitting in for somebody, you know. Myself, I thought, was just I really didn't know. It was like an enigma, like something that you just can't define or understand. Through this process, I've been able to get like a little bit of understanding so far. The only way to continue to gain that understanding is to stay on it. Sharing a fifth step is just not like writing it down and then moving on. You know, it's having to be courageous. Also, it's having to be having to trust somebody else with your own life. And, that's why we have sponsors. They build that relationship up over time. We just don't duck and dodge and say, "Well, I'm not getting something here. I'll go elsewhere." That doesn't cut it. And people have told me that from their experience. I haven't experienced that myself. I don't want to experience that for myself. Because again, I'm not looking to create more consequences today. Negative consequences, that is. I got to the sixth step and started working it. Because I knew I was a slave to like acting out all the time. Like, especially, from doing my fourth and fifth step, realizing how big of a part, how big of an illusion control is, and how big of a part self-centered fear plays in like my daily actions, right down to procrastination, and just it's all there, and it's all in here, it's all in myself, with failure to act, and that's what it is, that's what it boils down to for me, using foul language towards people, using foul language like in public where I shouldn't. And I can stay locked up in that and beat myself up with the ball bat all day. And I used to do that pretty regularly. That would give me another excuse to like act out like even some more, twisted up thoughts and random. I don't even know how to tell you where to begin, but it clears up, of course, when I begin to get back into the solution of it all. And that's like humbly asking, for help from God and from my support group, and being able to share it and not feeling like rejected. I can share how I feel today and what I'm thinking, with somebody else who is actually willing to listen and cares. Because I guess I was there and willing to listen and care to other people too. And that's how this program works. It's so simple like that. When we just give of ourselves just a little bit, it can really work to our advantage if we let it. People's personalities are a real one for me. That's a real big defect that I have, because it says it right in our 12th tradition, like you need to put principles before personalities. I have a real hard time doing that with some folks. It seems to me, this is a real self-centered view too, but if I'm pointing the finger, I got three pointed back at me. What's the solution in that? Nothing. I'm just looking again to escape out of myself. I do that in my job. I do that everywhere. It's no fun. Being able to finish the sixth step on paper allows me to then work it when I start my seventh step on paper. If that makes any sense. It's just how the steps have worked for me. Like, they start to work when I'm on my next one. The process continues. Procrastination has been a real big thing for me in working that seventh step. Putting my job and everything else in front of growth. I can't afford to do that anymore. If I struggle talking to people about simple issues, that are easy, simple issue. I really got to take a look at that. I just got to look at my part. I know that for sure. It's not always about me, but I can make it about me real quick all the time. Being able to be humble and seeing, again, like I was talking about earlier, that gray area that we try to get to and like reaches like a kind of a level of balance. It's real hard to do. If find myself praying like in the middle of the day. I do a lot of driving, and I've got to remain patient. That's something. It's as big as willingness for me is patience, because willingness is something I gotta do every time, day in and day out, like tying my shoes. It has to be done. I have to be, you know, even if it's something I don't want to do, I have to be willing to do it and change around and flip that over, flip out of that negativity. But patience is something that's, you know, I'm always behind somebody slow or somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing, having to cover other people's asses. It's become commonplace in the job that I do. Do I like doing it? Absolutely not. Does it drive me crazy? Absolutely. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier about like being able to share with somebody else, and I'm like that spare tire that you got to let a little bit of air out of every once in a while, just like, you know, just to vent a little bit. Like, I don't want to yell all the time. I end up doing it. It's gotten a lot better, you know, since I started working this stuff, because I'm a maniac with that, especially with my kids, man. I can act out with them real quick. And the biggest thing I can do is, like, look at other people and how they handle their kids and, like, try to be a part of, you know, remaining teachable all the time. Seeing what they're doing wrong and learn from it and then taking it and using it. Isn't this what this is about, you know? And I always lose that all the time. You know, and it's going to take time to be able to keep it and hold on to it and use it. Kids are... The biggest thing is, you know, my kids get under my skin so bad, and they don't even do nothing really. You know, to really look at it realistically, they really don't do a thing wrong. You know, they're just being themselves and learning too. They're innocent, you know, like we used to be before we picked up. You know, innocence. You know, getting back to that innocence is a hard place to do. I know I've done some dirt over my time, and you know, there's other steps for that down the line. Thank goodness that they're there in place. I was just told long ago, like, again, you know, by my sponsor, just hold on, you know. There are times when I still want to get high and think about it, but, you know, they're as fleeting, you know, as they are, as they're supposed to be, I guess. I'm glad they're fleeting, because if they were intense, that means I would have to go back and do some additional work, which I'm, you know, I'm not opposed to doing. You know, I have to put in work in this program to get any kind of real benefit. Without it, you know, it's going to be spinning wheels and going backwards most of the time. This week, I'll tell you a little bit about this weekend, okay? I came to this weekend knowing that I was going to have some stress. Wednesday of last week, like before Wednesday of last week, and my people in my support group will tell you this, and they'll attest to it, like, I shared with them that I was going in bonkers insane. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do. Over some again, simple stuff, you know, that I created, of course, by acting out. But Wednesday came... because Tuesday night I prayed. And it wasn't anything spectacular. I didn't hit my knees. I didn't do the routine or anything like that. I just, you know, simply prayed, and I did it with some reverence, you know, some real, I cared when I said it. And Wednesday came, and look, it was a new day. And that's how, that's a miracle in this program for me. To be able to just do something that simple, and the next day, everything be okay. Like it had been lifted away. Magically. Just like, you know, all the negativity, all the issues. Now mind you, they're still there, but they're not weighing on me at all. You know? I guess that's part of growth. I really don't know, but it gets me a little emotional, you know? Because miracles never worked for me in the past because I wasn't able to see them. You know, God was not
I wasn't with God at that time. I wasn't with my higher power on this walk. He was there, but I wasn't. I was checked out emotionally, you know. I was checked out. This program has been able to get, you know, given me the ability to, you know, see what I'm capable of seeing today. Which is a lot at any given moment, and then nothing at, you know, at the next moment. So the clarity comes and goes, is what I'm trying to say. Just, and keep in mind, too, this is just my experience, but I have a lot of, you know, something I'm really grateful for is the we that I invested time in here, and they invested the time in me. That's really, is really something that, you know, you can't put a price tag on that stuff, you know. I always valued other human beings if you were getting something for me, you know. But, or, you know, or there was some kickback involved, and now there isn't, and it's okay. I can be there unconditionally for somebody when they're struggling, you know. I had somebody tell me a couple weeks ago, like, and I usually just tell them, when I talk to this person and he shares with me, sometimes I feel like I don't give them anything of value in return. And that's always been okay, but he said, when after we were done sharing with each other, he said, you actually spoke from experience right there. Congratulations. And, you know, just simple things like that, you know, make me feel some value in living and make me feel some value in having real friends today. So, it's all a gift for me today. Again, it's just if I'm capable of seeing it or not, and staying out of self-centeredness, being able to ask for that to be lifted. You know, it's a big thing for me on a daily basis because I run into all kinds of situations where people don't want to work with me. And I just want to work for them, you know, for their behalf, not for, you know, selfish manipulation or anything like that. Just, you know, they're going to be themselves and I got to be myself. It's hard to walk a line sometimes when you just want to explode on people. I don't know. Most people probably know what that feels like. And I am here to say that through working the sixth step, and then now working into my seventh, that I've got that it has improved. So there is hope. There is hope to some degree on doing it. Invest the time in yourself. I would say, I know that we're not here to give advice, but I want to invest the time in myself because I beat myself up for a really long period of time, unnecessarily, and with no reward. So, if you're here this weekend, give yourself a break, get out of the pool or something, or take some time with your best friend if he or she is here, you know, and really enjoy yourself because, you know, time is time. And usually I find that there's not enough of it. So thanks for letting me share that.
Thanks.